10 years ago today, Los Angeles erupted in riots. 4 days of mayhem following the Rodney King verdict left 55 people dead and more than $1 billion in property damage. But as much as those events divided the community, LA's future could be much more literally divided. Three separate areas that make up nearly half of Los Angeles are trying to secede and form their own independent governments. By the end of this year, if they prevail, the nation's second largest city could cease to exist as we know it. NPR's Andy Bowers reports.
Within Los Angeles County, there is one Gulliver and nearly 90 Lilliputians. The giant is the city of Los Angeles, with its 3.7 million residents. The little guys are small, independent cities like Beverly Hills and Pasadena. This is the story of three areas that want to break away from LA City, saying it's too big and lumbering to serve its residents. Here's a quick tour of those areas, with a little help from some of the movies that have featured them over the years. We start in San Pedro, home to LA's huge commercial port, as shown in The Usual Suspects.
I just can't believe we're going to walk into certain death.
On a map, LA's harbor area looks like it's connected to the rest of the city by a thread. That's because the city annexed a long, thin strip of land to keep itself attached to the port. Some in the harbor now want to cut that thread. Next stop on the tour had a starring role in the movie Singin' in the Rain.
This is Dora Bailey, ladies and gentlemen, talking to you from the front of the Chinese Theater in Hollywood.
That's right, Hollywood, better known as an industry than as a gritty urban neighborhood right in the middle of Los Angeles. Some of its citizens feel they've been neglected by LA city leaders for years. Last stop on the tour is the San Fernando Valley, with more than a third of LA residents and nearly half its landmass. A slightly embellished version of how developers turned it from open space into suburbs was told in the film Chinatown.
They're blowing these farmers out of their land and then picking it up for peanuts. You have any idea what this land would be worth with a steady water supply? About $30 million more than they paid for it.
I'm standing on Mulholland Drive, which runs along the crest of the Santa Monica Mountains. To the north, I can see today's San Fernando Valley, suburban, middle class, home to both mainstream and X-rated movie studios, once a white conservative bastion, now increasingly multi-ethnic and especially Latino. On the other side of the mountains, to the south, is the vast Los Angeles Basin, where the older, more urban parts of the city are. At the moment, Mulholland Drive cuts right through the middle of Los Angeles, but if Valley Secession leader Richard Close wins his fight, this road could become the border between two cities.
Secession in Los Angeles is really a question of what is the proper size of local government. We just don't get the proper services that other smaller cities are getting. And it's not because there's any ill will towards the San Fernando Valley. It's just that LA City is not an efficient operation.
For Close, who heads the pro-secession group Valley Vote, it's a lot of simple quality of life issues that add up to the need to break away. Issues like potholes and police response times, which he says are worse in the Valley than in surrounding cities.
When it came time to locate a dump, the majority of the city council had no problem putting the largest dump in the country in the San Fernando Valley. All of this will change when the Valley becomes its own city. Well, you'll have local control and local decision-making.
Although even if it secedes, the Valley would hardly be Mayberry. With 1.4 million people, it would become the country's sixth largest city. What's left of L.A. would move from second to third, or fourth if all three areas break away. Hollywood, with around 250,000 residents, has similar complaints.
Hi, my name is Gene LaPietra, president of Hollywood Vote. Welcome to Couch City.
Couch City?
Well, that's what the locals refer to, because on any given day you can find a dozen different couches all over the sidewalks here, and they tend to stay around for several weeks at a time before they get picked up. It's part of the neglect and part of the frustration that the people in Hollywood have been feeling for the last 50 years.
The smaller harbor area also complains the city is too big and unresponsive, but its secession bid has a big problem. Ownership of the lucrative Port of Los Angeles would probably remain with L.A., making a new harbor city financially shaky. But it now looks very likely that at least Valley and Hollywood secession will appear on this November's ballot, and that has thrust Los Angeles Mayor James Hahn into a fight to make sure his city doesn't crumble out from under him.
I'd hate to see us become broken up into pieces, building up enclaves and trying to withdraw from what's exciting about a city, that it brings together people from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different countries, a lot of different points of view, and altogether it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Hahn, who's raising $5 million to fight the expected ballot measures, also says L.A. would be throwing away some of its regional and national clout by breaking itself apart.
When you're the second largest city in America, you get a front seat at the table. And when you're from the city of Los Angeles, that says you're big right off the bat and you need to be listened to.
Hahn is assembling a coalition of labor unions, citizen groups, and some wealthy Angelenos to fight secession. City Hall is also now showering attention on the rebellious areas to try to ease their anger. But through petition drives and years of political battle, secessionists have pushed the issue closer to a vote than many once thought possible. An obscure L.A. County redistricting agency known as LAFCO has now been given a task unique in American history. It's drawing up a massive, complex divorce settlement, a plan for how to divvy up every single asset of a huge city more than two centuries old. LAFCO chief Larry Calamine presented his Valley Plan to the agency's board last week. It covers everything from police and fire stations to water and power lines to the truly mundane.
Miscellaneous assets shall vest with the new city, and that's pencils and paper clips and what have you.
Calamine's most important finding was that a new Valley city would be able to stand on its own financially. In fact, he recommends the Valley should pay L.A. $55 million a year for 20 years as a kind of alimony. To secessionist Richard Close, that just proves that the Valley has been paying more into city coffers than it gets back in services.
The Valley is not getting back its fair share. So it's somewhat ironic, you know, since we don't get our fair share, we need to keep paying as alimony that amount into the future.
Yet, as in many divorces, it's a price Close is willing to pay for freedom. But L.A. Mayor James Hahn argues all this talk of fair shares misses something bigger.
You know, if you get to the point where you're saying every dollar I spend in taxes has to come back to me on my street, you really don't have a city anymore. Does that mean you're not going to provide police protection to a neighborhood unless they can afford police officers? Obviously, that's wrong.
LAFCO will decide soon which secession movements will make the November ballot. To pass, each ballot measure will need to win both a majority vote in the breakaway region and in the city as a whole. And a recent L.A. Times poll surprised many when it showed 46% of city voters did favor Valley secession. The campaign is already unleashing all sorts of strange political dynamics. The most interesting at the moment is in South Central L.A., where the Rodney King violence began 10 years ago. African American church and political leaders were expected to oppose secession. The theory was that losing so many middle-class taxpayers in the Valley would hurt the poorer urban areas in what remained of L.A. But then Mayor Hahn infuriated a lot of African Americans by opposing a second term for L.A.'s black police chief. The backlash has prompted leaders like the Reverend Frederick Murph of the Brookins AME Church to study whether secession might help blacks in South Central. The new thinking is that they would make up a larger percentage of the population in a smaller L.A.
That would increase our voting strength, our political power base. It possibly might allow us to create some other African-American councilmatic districts. We don't know yet.
Other less weighty secession issues include a fight over whether L.A. or Hollywood would own the Hollywood sign, and the question of what to name a new Valley city. One of five official choices is Camelot. But of greater interest to the rest of the country is this question. Could a successful effort to break up Los Angeles start one of those national trends California is famous for? Andy Bowers, NPR News, Los Angeles. Wait, let's just see how this sounds. Andy Bowers, NPR News, Camelot.